Okay, so you sent over this transcript, The Magnification Mastery. Really interesting stuff. We've been digging into it. And the core idea seems pretty clear, right? How to make a bigger impact, but like without just working endless hours.
Exactly. It's that smarter, not harder thing. And, the transcript kicks off with this question about fee structures, but that really just opens the door, doesn't it?
It totally does. It's way bigger than just fees. It's about reshaping how you leverage your expertise, your knowledge.
Yeah, fundamentally changing the game.
And the speaker, right at the start, just nails this common problem. So many people, doesn't matter the field really, get kind of stuck in this one-on-one trap.
Oh, definitely. Think about it. Individual marketing stuff, nurturing leads one by one, then delivering the service or training. It all adds up.
So time-consuming. And the push here is, how do you move past that? How do you get to this do it once, impact many model?
Spotting those leverage points.
Yeah.
That's the key. Where in your day-to-day can you make a change that multiplies the effect?
And they use that Amazon flywheel example, which is pretty illustrative.
Yeah, the classic. More customers means more sellers, which means better selection.
Which leads to a better experience, more traffic, more customers.
And the whole thing just spins faster. Momentum builds.
Right. But then they contrast that with professional services, and it's often, well, a bit different.
It really is. More clients can actually mean you get busier, maybe less attention per client.
Yeah, the experience could dip potentially fewer clients down the road. It's not that self-reinforcing growth loop.
Yeah.
It's trickier.
So the question for anyone listening is, what could your flywheel components look like? How do you build that positive cycle?
Exactly. And the transcript mentions this different problem for professionals, says they'll circle back. But first, it lays out this this
The
evolution.
stages of a professional consultant starts with the generalist advisor.
Right, the jack of all trades. And apparently there's often an earnings ceiling there, maybe around $100, because you're spread thin.
Yeah, trying to serve everyone. So the takeaway there is maybe, are you too general?
Then the next step is becoming a specialist, focusing maybe on estate planning or a specific client type.
And that focus means higher potential earnings, right? Because your expertise is sharper, more valuable, and it starts to feel more scalable.
Okay, and then stage three, the consultant. Even higher fees, very niche solutions. But still, there's a limit, isn't there, to how many individuals you can serve directly?
Still capped, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is where the transcript brings in trusted teams and crucially, group coaching, a big step towards scaling.
Delivering value, but to multiple people at once makes sense.
But even group coaching has its limits for like true exponential scale. And that's the pivot to digital offerings.
Okay, let's unpack that. Digital coaching, online courses, the argument is that's where the real scalability is.
Absolutely. You create it once, the course, the program, and you can sell it theoretically an infinite number of times.
It's like those SaaS businesses, right? Software as a service. Build the software, then license it out. The cost per user becomes tiny.
Exactly. So, for the listener, how could some of your knowledge become digital? What could that look like?
And the Peloton example they use is great. Took spin classes, add in tech, boom, global reach from home.
The physical constraints just evaporate.
And it's not just courses. They mention Maven in healthcare, blending one-on-one appointments with webinars, these hybrid models.
Combining that personal touch with scalable reach, it's smart.
And TED Talks
There's some
started as a conference, right? But putting talks online.
game changer.
Massive impact, ideas reaching millions. Makes you think, what core messages do you share repeatedly that could have a wider audience?
So this all points to a big mindset shift, doesn't it? Moving from how do I do all this?
To who can help me do this? That who, not how idea, it's central.
Yeah, crucial. And the Simon Cowell story illustrates it perfectly. He doesn't need to know music production details.
Nope. Just needs to recognize a hit. Focus on the outcome, not the intricate process. And that other anecdote about the speaker not jumping in to cover staff shortages on a Saturday, that really landed.
Yeah, staying out of the weeds to keep that customer perspective. It's tough to do, but important.
And the detail about Simon Cowell apparently not having a mobile or checking email after 5:30.
Wow. It really speaks to focus and delegation, doesn't it? Trusting the who.
Okay, so the transcript then gets practical. Talks about the speaker's framework for these one-to-many solutions, starting with marketing.
Right. And the Jared from Subway story? Classic example of how one authentic story transformed their whole marketing approach.
It really shows the power of narrative, doesn't it? Sharing success stories isn't just like bragging.
Not at all. It demonstrates value, attracts clients, attracts partners even. way more engaging than just listing features.
And this idea of a story playbook, capturing those key stories to use consistently, smart.
Definitely. What are your key success stories? Are you sharing them effectively?
And it's not just client stories, right? Your own origin story matters, why you do what you do.
Yeah, they mentioned using podcast clips on a website.
Yeah.
More dynamic, more real. Being interviewed can really help draw that out.
Authenticity, people connect with that.
Absolutely. Then there's the marketing Bible, basically a central hub for all your marketing content.
Makes so much sense. Stop reinventing the wheel. Reuse, recycle.
And what's really interesting is using it to train AI, like GPT.
Yeah.
Feed it your past stuff.
And the AI content gets better, more consistent, sounds like you.
Exactly. Have you played around with AI for content creation yet? It's worth exploring.
Then seminars and webinars. Obvious one-to-many tools. The example of the How to Write a Business Book webinar.
Answer a common question once, record it, share it widely. And you can naturally include a pitch for your services.
And the real power is in evergreen webinars, like that Limitless Life workshop example. Set it up, let it run.
Always on, generating leads, providing value. So for someone in, say, home design, maybe a webinar on 5 common design mistakes, that could run forever.
And then the really futuristic stuff, AI avatars for discovery calls.
Yeah, that curing test leading to the nutrient test concept, AI making $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It does make you pause and think.
And William building a whole business with AI agents. Mind-blowing.
Consistent engagement, 247, no burnout. Big implications for automating those early interactions.
Okay, shifting gears a bit to prospect nurturing. It's not just the first touch point.
Right. It's about building trust, educating people over time. The Airbnb post-booking communication, that's a great example of a thought-out journey.
And again, AI, seminars, webinars, all useful here for nurturing at scale.
But I like the idea of using a framework, too, like that Better Future framework. Send targeted info piece by piece.
Piquing interest, showing the bigger picture gradually. What framework could you use?
And free introductory courses, maybe on Kajabi or similar platforms. Let people learn gradually. Experience your expertise. Great nurturing tool.
Okay, now client servicing. The transcript calls this potentially the biggest game changer for professionals.
And the results they mention are staggering. 50% less time on servicing, more client value, higher fees. Wow.
Because the traditional model hits that capacity wall, right? Often around 100 clients. Because one-on-one reviews take so much time.
Exactly. So the solution proposed is the client review workshop.
Group reviews, essentially. It's interesting they mentioned the initial hesitation, like mulling it over for 4 years.
Change is hard.
Yeah.
But the benefits they listed are persuasive. More value covering broader topics like life planning, ethics.
Regulatory advantages too, video evidence of discussions. Simplification for clients.
Showcasing softer stuff like charity work. Easier delegation because the message is consistent. Opportunities for new services like estate planning. It ticks a lot of boxes.
Can the process sound slick? Personalized pack beforehand, generic explanation in the group, then pre-filled forms for easy action.
Like topping up ISAs or pensions, doing wills. Simple actions triggered by that group session.
That power of one message leading to widespread action is huge.
And the fact it helps sell the business. That really proves the system's value. Consistent messaging, easier transition.
Plus those extra tips. Giving out a book for reciprocity, building in referrals, smart additions.
And thinking about ongoing lower intensity programs post-project. Great for recurring revenue and staying connected.
But how did they get clients on board initially, that all or nothing fear?
Ah, the key was offering workshops as an addition, not a replacement, for one-to-one reviews.
Okay, so clients could choose.
Exactly. And over time, a big chunk chose the workshop. It proved its value.
So the core message there is, look at your ongoing client stuff. How can any of it become one-to-many?
Really analyze those interactions.
Okay, let's talk team effectiveness. Same principle applies, right? One-to-many for training.
Definitely. That Bill Gates Foundation quote, educate once, empower many, perfect fit.
And the practical tip, video record all training. Consistent onboarding saves time.
And recording role plays. Genius. New hires can watch real examples. Accelerates learning.
And this one-to-many approach helps with delegation too. Ties into that Ray Dalio transparency idea. Shared knowledge is key.
Which leads to the Blair Bible concept. Love that analogy.
Yeah, like Tony Blair's comprehensive briefing book. Your internal knowledge hub.
Everything in one place. Slides, fees, frameworks, investing guides, maybe even mood-boosting videos, as they mentioned.
Ensures everyone's on the same page. Empowers them to answer questions confidently. What would your internal Bible contain?
And having video testimonials collected centrally, great for the team to use, reinforces the value they provide.
Plus, using it for reporting, quick info access, streamlines everything.
Then there's recycling content. So important for efficiency. Don't let good stuff die after one use.
Yeah, seminar content becomes articles, like the Smart Money example, or a podcast becomes a book.
Constantly ask, how can I repurpose this? New format, different audience.
Okay, so if you're doing all this one-to-many stuff, seminars, webinars, workshops, public speaking skills become pretty crucial.
Absolutely key. And they differentiate between public speaking for promotion and professional speaking for fees. Both valuable.
And some good resources mentioned. Talk Like TED for structure.
That powerful Brian Stevenson TED Talk, Julian Treasure on listening.
And checking out Andy Harrington for workshop skills, Maria Franzoni Franz for the speaking business model, practical next steps.
Definitely worth looking into if this is an area you want to develop.
And this one really stood out based on that Stephen Bartlett talk.
Yeah.
Maybe the next key hire after a PA is a videographer.
Makes total sense for one to many, especially now. Video is huge, in-house or freelance.
And it's getting easier, right? The editing services mentioned, Victoria's experience, it's more accessible.
Much more accessible than it used to be.
So wrapping this up, for everyone listening, the big question remains. How can you reach more people in less time?
Yeah, take a moment. Brainstorm.
Yeah.
Marketing, nurturing, servicing, team stuff, recycling content. Where are the opportunities?
Look at what you're doing one-on-one right now. How could that become one-to-many? Even a small shift.
And try to identify, maybe, the three most important actions you could take coming out of this deep dive. What really resonated.
So yeah, this whole exploration of magnification mastery really highlights that shift, doesn't it? Away from just individual effort.
Towards strategic, scalable, one-to-many approaches. It's about amplifying your impact and, frankly, making your life easier too.
It creates more value for your audience and builds a more resilient, scalable operation for you.
So the final thought to leave people with is, considering all these strategies, what's maybe one small, one-to-many shift you could realistically implement, say, this week, just to start seeing that ripple effect?
Great question. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Hopefully it sparks some ideas for achieving your own magnification mastery.